Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Just going to pray for our word before we start here this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can gather, that we can open your word, that we can learn from your word. Father, thank you that your words are true and that your words speak life, speak truth, speak hope, and we pray that we would receive that here this morning as we open your word together. In your name we would pray, amen. Words create worlds. From nothingness, they bring a universe of meaning with each syllable they sing. They conjure up images both vivid and clear and transport us to a place far and near. With a word, we can inspire and light up a flame. We can comfort the weary and heal those in pain. We can make sense of the chaos and find order in the fray and turn darkness to light with just what we say. Words build bridges between hearts and minds. They help us connect across cultural divides. They teach us to empathize and see the world anew and show us that there's beauty in things we never knew. Words create worlds and shape reality. They have the power to move us to tears and jubilee. So choose them with care and use them with intent, for the worlds that we create will be the ones that we invent. These words are a poem written by Tony Martin Getty. And they speak to this powerful truth that words do in fact create worlds. But the reverse is true as well. Words can destroy worlds. Commentator Derek Kidner wrote, "What is done to you is of little account besides what is done in you." This is because words go deep and words shape our lives. Knowing this, it's no wonder that Scripture speaks to the power of our words. And we see this throughout Scripture. In the book of Psalms, we read how our throat is an open grave, how tongues deceive, how our mouths are full of curses and bitterness. Isaiah sensed the weight of his words when he saw a vision of God's throne room, and he responded with woe over his unclean lips. In Proverbs, we read of death and life being in the power of the tongue. We also read the tongue is like a sword that thrusts. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 that we will give account for careless words. And as we continue our series through the book of James today, we read about how the power of our words, spoken to others and over others and at others, how it carries such power, power of life and death. Our tongue is one of the most important things about us. Our words carry weight, and we need to pay close attention to words we speak because our speech is one of the primary ways that we can make the person of Jesus known. It's important that when we speak, we remember who we are and who we represent. So our thought for this morning is this. God's intention for us is that our speech would represent the character of God and his kingdom to the world. God's intention for us is that our speech would represent the character of God and his kingdom to the world. If we look at all our conversations, interacting with store employees, hashing out a disagreement with a friend, fighting mistakes over the phone on a bill, correcting your children, frustrations with your employer, exchanges over social media. Through this lens, representing God in our communication, suddenly talking or having conversations begin to look like opportunities to represent the person of Jesus and to build his kingdom. And so with that on our minds, let's jump into our text this morning. We're going to continue in the book of James. We're in chapter 3. You can turn there, or you can turn your phone, flip to where you need to be. James chapter 3, we're going to start by reading the first two verses. "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." James begins our chapter this morning with this startling statement, especially for those of us that teach the Word of God. He says that those that teach will be judged more strictly. Now, can I just say, as a teacher, that makes me nervous on many levels. You're like, ha, I'm glad you're the one up there and not me. However, knowing this also challenges me to be wise and careful with my words. And I believe this is the heart of what James is communicating. And in this sense, the warning is not to make us fearful, but reverent of the one that our teaching should be pointing to, the person of Jesus. James wants his readers to know that the tongue is accountable for the words that it delivers. And so although James might be specifically addressing those in a local church context who were teachers, I believe that it is worth noting these days that anyone can teach in some capacity. And so likely this warning can apply to all of us. Francis Chan writes, "We live in a day and age when everyone wants to be the teacher. Everyone wants to be the one who gives advice. Everyone wants to be the expert." So even if we're not standing on stage, guess what? We're in this together. And anyone can share thoughts, opinions about what they say and what they believe in some form. Think about it. Sharing thoughts and opinions can come through one-on-one conversations, a podcast, a social media post, an email that you send, a text message that you send. When you teach a small group, when you're in a Sunday school classroom teaching children, as a youth leader, for all of us parents and grandparents. And so because of this, the warning that James gives likely pertains to all of us. So if we are attempting to teach truth in any medium, we need to be cautious and humble, because as James warns, teachers will be judged more harshly. Put another way, we will be held accountable for the words that we teach. All words that come out of your mouth, you are accountable for. This means the words spoken in public, in private, the ones that everyone hears, the ones that you think nobody hears. It includes the words that we share from behind a smartphone or a keyboard. And so let me say this, don't pursue the position if you are not willing to embrace the responsibility. What's the responsibility? Ephesians 4, Paul defines the role of teaching and teacher to build up, to edify, and to equip the church body. The words that you give, do they build up, do they equip, and do they edify? We should be always asking ourselves, what are my motives when it comes to the words that I teach? When I teach in that Bible study, lead that small group, start that podcast, as a parent, debating others on social media, making your opinion known. James would want to make sure that our motive in teaching connects back to our main point. And our motive in teaching needs to be to make the person of Jesus known and to build up his kingdom. Our motive should not be to win a debate or sway an opinion. It is to make the person of Jesus known. Realize that words have incredible power, and so when we teach, we need to ensure that we are connecting people to the truth and not pushing them further away. James develops this idea further in the next few verses, verses 3-6. He says, when we put bits in the mouth of the horse to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil. Among the parts of the body, it corrupts. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. The tongue is powerful. Words have power. Power to build up God's kingdom or to tear it down. And James illustrates this with three metaphors in the text. The bit in the mouth of a horse, the rudder of a ship, and a spark that starts a fire. In the first two illustrations, we see specifically how the tongue is powerful. The bit in the mouth of the horse, for example, the person who sits on the horse is much weaker than the horse itself. But that small bit enables the person to control the direction of where that horse goes. The rudder of a ship is tiny in comparison to the ship as a whole, and yet it enables the captain to guide the ship in the direction they want to go. In a similar way, the tongue, although a small part of the body, has a controlling influence over the whole person. And this is why in verse 2, James said these words, "The one who controls their tongue keeps their whole body in check." The tongue is small, but powerful. James wants us to understand how our words, spoken or digital, affect our lives, both in the wider society and within the community of faith. Every conversation is an opportunity to build into God's kingdom or to break it down. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Words spoken to us, about us, have the power to shape our lives. The words we speak can have the power to encourage, to uphold, to strengthen, to teach, to display truth, to show love. And this is kingdom-building speech. Kingdom-building words make Jesus known to a hurting and broken world. I don't keep many hard copies of files in my desk anymore here at work. However, I do have one folder, and it's labeled encouragement. It contains encouragement cards and letters and notes that I have received over the years since I began in ministry over 17 years ago. The words that are contained in that folder have largely shaped my world and who I am. In times of doubt, they have been words that have been a great source of life and encouragement, reminding me of who I am and who the person of Jesus is. And many of those words have come from many of you who are sitting here or watching online today. Your words have reminded me of the calling that Jesus has placed on my life. As imitators of Christ, we should seek to speak life into others, and that is what I have received. A humble word of encouragement, a gentle reminder of truth, or a timely exhortation can seep deep into the heart of the one who is struggling. The words we speak can be the very words that someone needs to encounter the person of Jesus and the power of his kingdom. The words you speak have the ability to give a person life in a situation. We read in Proverbs 10:11 about that truth when it says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." At the same time, our words can kill and destroy. Words can cause great harm. And this is the proverbial double-edged sword. Out of your mouth, you have the ability to give life or death. The illustration of the spark in our text today speaks to this. A spark can be an uncontrollable and destructive force. Simply look at the damage that sparks have done through our country as countless wildfires have blazed as the result. Uncontrolled speech is like a spark that can start a raging fire. The uncontrolled tongue can do terrible things. Satan uses the tongue to divide people, to pit them against one another. Idle and hateful words are damaging because they spread destruction so quickly. We see how verbal abuse can damage a person, or how one careless sentence can destroy a relationship that has taken years to build. Our tongues brag, curse, diminish, ignore, hurt, lie, control, annoy, provoke, anger, and disappoint. If I asked you to recount painful times and moments in your life, chances are they would involve something said to you. I do not have a folder in my desk that saves those words. For many of you struggling the effects of trauma, your trauma goes back in part to things that were said to you or about you. Words from family or friends, enemies that have been said to you and about you. I came across a story that was shared about a woman in LA who tragically took her own life. She left behind a note, but it had nothing more on it than two simple words. Those two words were, "They said." The words of others, our words, can cause so much damage. Much of our life is determined by "they said." Perhaps worse still, we have contributed to the "they said" moments. A lot of fires have been set ablaze from the sparks of our words, hateful comments, an outburst of anger, a degrading comment, gossiping, putting others down, bragging, manipulating, false teaching, exaggerating, complaining, lying. Careless use of our words, intentional words or not, can cause fires that rage in the lives of others all around us. So James is calling us to pay attention to the way that we speak. The way that we speak to our kids, to our spouses, to our friends, to our family, to our neighbors, to those that we work with, to our church community. We need to be aware of the words we use on social media, how we comment, if we're gossiping about others, if we're tearing down people, if we are representing Jesus and his kingdom well. Before you speak, ask, is what I say true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Our speech should lead others in the right direction, steering them towards life and not death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And James highlights the contrast in the next section of our chapter. Let's pick up in verse 7 through to verse 12. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James highlights this contrast by saying we can tame and control all kinds of animals, but no one can tame the tongue. We're supposed to control our tongues, but according to James, it's something that we could not do. No matter how strong and capable we are, we will never be able to control our tongues ourselves. No amount of human restraints or self-control will be sufficient. When we try on our own, we get this inconsistency in our speech that James writes about. Praise and cursing coming from the same mouth. At times, our words are right and pleasing to God, but at other times, they are violent and destructive. Which of these speech patterns reflects our true identity? We are made in God's image, but the tongue gives this picture of our basic sinful nature. Our inconsistent speech points to a deeper issue within our hearts. Put another way, the tongue gives us a picture of the condition of our heart. Think of it this way. Think of your tongue as in a similar way to the dashboard on your car. The warning lights in your vehicle on the dashboard come up to tell you what is going on inside of the car. It tells you what's going on under the hood, the things that we cannot see. In a similar way, the tongue is an indicator of what is going on inside of our heart. A tongue problem is reflective of a heart problem. The tongue reveals the depravity of our hearts. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 reads, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." The tongue is only as good as the heart that is guiding it. Just as the bit in a horse's mouth is only as good as the rider, or the rudder of a ship is only as good as the captain. In other words, when we talk about the tongue, we're talking about the heart. And James does this a lot. He points to outward actions as a revelation of an inward reality. Who we are is what we say. We never truly speak out of character. We only reveal true character. What comes out of the tongue reveals the source, and our words then expose what is in our heart. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so if no human being can tame the tongue, well then what is the way forward? What is the hope? If our words indicate that our heart is a mess, how do we begin to heal the heart? How can I change that salt water pond to a fresh mountain spring? I think James gives us three ways forward in those last few verses. The first is this: be filled with the Spirit. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God's grace is sufficient for you. We do not have the sufficient strength to tame the tongue, but His grace is enough to tame the tongue. His power is seen in our weakness. And James is pointing us to the person of Jesus to heal our hearts and to give us power over our speech. This is the great hope of every believer, that we have a greater power at work within us, the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, we can speak words of life. If we are to represent the character of God and His kingdom to others, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us and to renew us daily. Whose hands are on the rein and the rudder of your tongue? For many of us, it's ours and ours alone. Do we need to take a hold of that rein, of the wheel of the ship to steer the rudder? Yes. But it can't be our hands alone. We need the Holy Spirit on our hands, on our life, controlling that bit and the rudder. To change the heart, begin by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we need honesty and we need to repent. How many people want nothing to do with the person of Jesus because of the words of the church? And yes, that includes all of us as individuals and as a group that makes up the church body. As the church and followers of Jesus, we should be people whose speech is seasoned with compassion and care. However, far too often, because of our speech, we have lost the opportunity to make Jesus known and to build up His kingdom. Instead, we have put up walls and we have created barriers. But we have the opportunity to flip the script. Through our speech, instead of being a source of pain and hurt, we can speak hope, life, and the name of Jesus. The work of Christ was to turn strangers into friends, to invite the outsider from a place of exclusion to a place at the table of the household of God. Walls of separation, of division, of dissension were cracked and broken down by Jesus, the wall dismantler, the peace bringer. To see this work flourish, we as followers of Jesus need to be willing to be accountable for our words, especially words that have caused damage. We need to take responsibility for our speech and apologize to those that we have hurt. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." We need to seek forgiveness from others that we have hurt with hateful comments, an outburst of anger, a degrading comment, gossiping, bragging, or manipulating. This will be a great witness to who the person of Jesus truly is. We need to remove expectations on others, serve the needs of others and not our own, allowing people to discover Jesus. Encourage, serve, help, and enjoy people along the journey. I'm going to invite our worship team to come as we explore the third point that James gives us to move forward. In verse 9 specifically, James highlights humanity being made in the likeness of God. Seeing everyone as being made in the image of God is a calling to see all people, not just like us or simply people we do like, as valuable, as loved, and as worthy. Worthy to be treated with dignity and respect. Whenever we speak ill of others, we speak ill about people who are made in the image and likeness of God. Whenever we gossip about someone, we are not simply speaking badly about that person, but we speak badly about God. Because that person has the stamp of God on them. The selfish, destructive, and evil, hateful words we speak dishonor image bearers and the living God. When we speak, we need to speak to others knowing that they are created in the image of God. Each and every person deserves to be spoken to in a way that is loving. Remember who you are and who you represent in your speech. You represent the person of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is that everyone would experience love and belonging. And when we fail to honor the image of God in others through our speech, families become fractured, tensions rise, warfare spreads, churches split, and people fail to experience the power of Jesus in their life. Church, our responsibility as followers of Jesus is to speak life and be the tangible experience of God's love to every person we encounter, regardless of race, appearance, cultural background, disposition, morality, sexual identity, political leaning, religious background, educational level, or age. No one is higher or lower in significance to God. As we interact with others, we must do so with the knowledge that they are image bearers just as we are. This is what needs to come from our hearts and through our speech. Words that proclaim the dignity of all human life is the word of God within us. Our speech should bring healing, peace, and love to the world. And when we treat others in this way, we will reflect the person of Jesus, and we will build his kingdom with him here and now. Our way forward, be filled with the Spirit. Let's be honest and repent and honor the image of Jesus in all people. I invite you to stand as we close our service together with worship.